Good morning. Wow, what a crowd today. What a crowd. Say, do you know what this means? When the pastor brings a pot of, or a tin of coffee, that means next Sunday you turn your clocks back. And we don't ever charge for coffee fellowship in this church, and there's all kinds of activities that we use coffee. But when we change the clock, we ask people to bring a pot of coffee. So that's what that is about, okay? So you're going to remember your coffee next week? And those of you who like decaf, the only way you're going to get decaf is if you bring it. So that's what that's about. We've got a big week. We've had a couple of big weeks, actually. But this afternoon, yesterday we had Mr. Dick Gripp's birthday. This afternoon we have a funeral for a friend of ours, Lloyd Jarson. Then we've got Monday and Tuesday, gals are coming over to make lefse. And then we got the big holiday bazaar. Have you ever been to this holiday bazaar, John? Next week you come, Saturday, and bring lots of money. You're a student. I'll buy you a turkey bun. Anyway, yeah, busy, busy week. And you know what? I just need to thank all of you for helping yesterday and helping today and all the work you're going to do. I know you're going to be tired. And on opening a deer hunting, you can sleep in, John. Okay? Anyway, turn your clocks back next week, okay? And thanks for all your good work. I think the rest of the announcements. Oh, today we have red. Red is a day of reformation. There's only two times in the year that the liturgical churches will have red, and one is today, Reformation Sunday. The other is Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit came down, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about Reformation today and what happened back in 1517. So you'll hear more about that during the sermon. Anyway, Reformation. It's time to reform our lives. I think that's what the theme will be, okay? What are you laughing about, Mary? You just thought about something you need to reform, didn't you? I think I hit the nail on the head there. It's nice to have you here. One of the great themes of Reformation is we're at the same time saint and sinner, simul justus et peccator. We're saints. One day we can be so good and do some nice stuff. And, you know, we don't even try and it's nice. And the next moment we can be so bad. And Dale, you seem to understand that pretty good, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, that's why you and I get along so well. Let's open our church gathering with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you know that each one of us comes from the busyness of our lives. There's a lot of stuff happening in our lives. And today we're reminded to take some time to spend with you and to focus our thoughts on you. For you are the Creator. You are the Lord. You have become human in the person of Jesus. You've taught us how to live, how to treat one another. You have given us lessons on love and forgiveness and joy and happiness and peace. But sometimes we get so busy moving here and there, thinking about this and that, that we don't think about how you would have us live and how we can find peace and joy. So thank you for gathering us this morning and taking some time out to focus thoughts on you. Send your spirit to this place, Lord. Send your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Open Now the Gates of Beauty. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse, rising on the last word verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Amen. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness in life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm in your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our bell choir to play Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Thank you.
question before Lynn reads. These aren't bells. What are they called?
Chimes.
They're just chimes.
Huh.
Tone chimes. Oh, okay. We've got tone chime choir.
Today the first reading is from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. Human priests of old offered sacrifice for their own sins and served only until their death. In contrast, Jesus is God's Son, the holy, sinless, resurrected high priest. Death did not terminate his priestly service, but through his death, he has interceded for our sins. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all times to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have had such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The psalm today is Psalm 126. Please read responsibly, and when you see the bold R, use the refrain, "Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy." When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negev.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Reformation Sunday is found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark. Bartimaeus comes to Jesus with faith, asking that he might see again. Recognizing Jesus' identity, Bartimaeus is the first person to call him Son of David in the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 673, God Whose Almighty Word.
Whose Almighty
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thought we'd do a little confirmation review. These are things they teach in the Lutheran Church. But the first thing we all should be reminded of is that history is always written through the eyes of the victor, not the vanquished. And so when you read the story of the Reformation through Lutheran eyes, you will get their perspective. And I assure you, if you'd read the history of the Reformation through Roman Catholic eyes, you would get a whole different perspective. Just as today, if you were to ask Jewish people in Israel to write their history, you'd get a whole different picture than you would from Palestinian Christians. History is written through the eye of the victor, and so this is what they teach us in seminary. John, I should have you jump on this. I should have had you preach. Just for your information, there are 8 million Lutherans in the United States. There's about 12 Lutheran denominations because Lutherans can't get along either. Okay? Every one of us is on our own theological journey. Every one of us should be thinking who God is in our lives, how he works in the world, and how we can be a part of his will in bringing peace, love, and joy. Hopefully that's a message that's taught in all denominations, all Christian churches around the world. The basic premise of the Lutheran Church and Martin Luther himself is a Latin phrase called simul justus et peccator. We are at the same time saint and sinner. Next week, next Sunday, we celebrate All Saints Day, where we remember all those who have passed before us and affected our Christian journeys. At one moment, you can be the most wonderful, caring, loving person, doing things that you don't even know you're doing that are great, that are in lines with God's holy will. And the next moment, it's like the switch goes off and we can be the most terrible sinner there ever was. So at the same time, saint and sinner. Martin Luther knew this. Martin Luther was born in 1483. What happened in 1492, Emily? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I learned that in fourth grade, I think. What grade are you in? Fifth. You learned that in fifth grade, okay? When Martin Luther came on the scene, this was the people were coming out of the Dark Ages. This was the age of exploration. Columbus was sailing a flat world, and all of a sudden he finds India, the West Indies, as opposed to the East Indies. He finds America. Vasco da Gama was going down the coasts of Africa trying to find the land of spices in China. There was exploration going on around the world. People were finding new cultures, new things, were taking chances. Our friend Leonardo da Vinci was starting to create right things, seeing things, flying machines, cannons, things that no one had ever thought of before he was working on. Michelangelo was doing art. The art world was growing like crazy. People were dreaming and thinking. From a Lutheran perspective, depends who you reach, who you read. Lutherans will write that the Pope at that time was more culturally interested in preserving the great art that was being produced. And they had started selling what they call indulgences. If you wanted to buy your way out of forgiveness for your sins, you would make an offering and there would be a mass said. And they had this thing called purgatory, a place where you go to be purged of your sins. The way it was described to me is if you go to a silversmith or a goldsmith, they will take gold, boil it down, and all the impurities will go out, or the silver will go out, and it becomes pure and pure. And the idea was that that's what happens when we sin. We go to purgatory. This was what was being taught at the time. And you spend time in purgatory where your sins are washed away until you're perfected enough to enter into the land of milk and honey, heaven, the next dimension. Martin Luther, father was a businessman in town. Wanted him to go to college. The only people who were educated were priests and very wealthy people. So his father must have been doing pretty good. He's studying to be a lawyer. He's walking through a field. There's a great big thunderstorm, lightning storm. Bolts are falling down. He hides behind a big rock. He says his prayers, "Oh, Lord, if you preserve me from this, I'll go into the seminary and be your priest." All of a sudden, the storm passed. And you know what Martin Luther said? "Oh, no." But he got an education. And he was respected. And he was a humble man. But his thinking was every time he sinned, it was he wanted to do something to keep him from falling into the sin again. So he would get up an hour earlier and prayed. He prayed 3 hours in the morning. But if he sinned, he'd pray 4 hours. And then if he didn't, the sin repeated again, he started switching himself. Then he, as he studied the scriptures, he found out in the scriptures there was no place that ever talked about purgatory. And he came across a verse, Romans, that said that it is that faith comes through the grace of God. Faith comes through the grace of God. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on. He understood grace is receiving a gift that he doesn't receive. He understood that God loved him unconditionally, absolutely, as he was. That he couldn't, there's nothing he could do to get out of, you know, to get his sins forgiven. There's nothing he could say that God had already forgiven him. He loved him unconditionally. He loved him absolutely. And it was like a big load lifted off his shoulders that he couldn't do anything. And he said, you know, why are we selling indulgences? These people are looking for a little peace in their lives, a little joy in their lives, and they're trying to do this and this and this and this to get out. But God already has forgiven them, loved him through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're already forgiven. And it's better to live a life in response to God's goodness and love than it is to crawl and try and do all these things to make up for our bad thoughts or our bad deeds. And so he wrote a bunch of statements down called the 95 Theses. A thesis is a statement of belief. And most of them had to do with the selling of indulgences. You'd pay and have a mass said for you, and then your sins would be washed away or forgiven. And you get, that's your purging, how you wouldn't have to spend so much time in purgatory. And he wrote in these theses things like, I don't find purgatory in heaven. I don't see how people can do anything to get out and do get out of purgatory when Jesus has already died for our sins and rose again. And on and on and on. On October 31st, what happens on October 31st? You know, Lynn? It's our bazaar. No, it's Halloween. It's Halloween. It's Holy Evening. It's the night before All Saints Day. Okay? And so he pounds these 95 statements to the door of the Wittenberg Church. And the people who can read start reading these 95. Oh, on All Saints Day, everyone, it's like our Memorial Day, everyone took the day off. They went to church, worshiped, thanked God for those who have passed in the past year. Thank God for those who had affected their Christian lives, who had loved them and cared for them. It was a Memorial Day where they honored all saints. And they saw these 95 theses and people started talking about them. And pretty soon they're, you know, they didn't have newspapers and that silly thing they call the internet and computers. They didn't have that stuff. The only place they talked about it was when the women went down to the river to wash their clothes, they'd start talking theology. What do you think of what Martin Luther said? Oh, man, I think he's bad. He's going against what the church says and our Pope. He knows he's got the wisdom of God. He's a rat. He should be thrown out. Someone will say, well, you know what? I think I like what Martin Luther's saying because I can't. There's nothing I can do to change what my behavior except by the forgiveness of God I can live. And so people started talking. The guys, after a day of work, they'd go down to the pub. Some of the Luther's best theology is said has been taken over a stein of beer. Am I speaking true, John?
Yes.
Yeah. Good, thanks. But, so they started arguing. So finally it got to be, are you Catholic? You believe what the Catholic says? Or are you Lutheran? Martin Luther started saying, don't be calling this Lutheran. He says, I'm nothing but a worm. Don't name this church after me. But the argument got going. People started talking and discussing. They started doing theology. You and I should be doing our own theology. asking how God works in my life, how he works in the world. We should be looking at Scripture. We should be reading what Jesus said and how he teaches us to live. And should be always looking, where is the Spirit moving and leading in our lives? And people started doing that. It was the Great Awakening in the world. Exploration, arts and sciences, and religion. And then soon the printing press was developed. In fact, when Martin Luther was tried, convicted, given a month to recant, to take back his teachings, his friend, the Prince Frederick, the Elector, a young guy, friend of his, had him kidnapped, put him in he kidnapped him. He just took him out of the way because the Roman church was looking for him. And he translated the New Testament into German. For the first time, people had the translation of the Bible in a language they could understand. Otherwise, it was either Greek, Jewish, or Latin. And so the people could read the Scripture for themselves. And the printing press really put that out. You know, I guess maybe that's the 1500s picture of what a computer does today. The printing press. Huh. Anyway, life is changing. That's what's happening. That's the theology of Martin Luther. That was the story of the Reformation. In 2 years, we're celebrating 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. You're going to hear more and more about that. Some things changed. As people started talking and discussing, people stopped going to the Roman church and started their own church. And the Lutheran congregations, the ones who followed Martin Luther, he said, don't even name a church after me, but it ended up being Lutheran. Lutheran Church is the oldest Protestant church in the world, and even still today is the largest in the world, just for your information. Martin Luther and other leading theologians at the time looked at the number of sacraments. The Roman Church had 7 sacraments at the time. Sacraments, they decided to give. What is a sacrament? They determined that it was something commanded by Jesus using earthly materials to strengthen our faith. They moved from 7 to 2. The 2 sacraments in the Lutheran Church today are baptism and Holy Communion. Okay? The Protestants still got together and started talking. And some said, you know what? Babies shouldn't be baptized. They don't understand the grace of God. Let's let them get old enough on their own. And at a certain age, which they determined was probably 12 years old, they can decide for themselves when they were Christians. And so some broke away from the Lutheran church because of baptism. They were called the Anabaptists, against baptism. They were against baby baptisms. And then they started thinking, well, I mean, it just goes on and on and on like that. There were a number of other discussions they had. Some said, why do you have crosses in the church and candles and colors? And that doesn't have anything to do with our faith. So we, along with the Roman Catholics and Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopals, are called liturgical churches. Liturgy is a Latin word meaning people at work. When we worship, there's a give and take. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. There's give and take. If you go to a non-liturgical church, someone will say the prayers, someone will give the sermon, someone will leave the singing, but there's not a give and take. And they don't have colors, and they don't have candles, and they don't have this. People can't get along. They're doing their own theology. Do we all have to have the same theology? No. Are Roman Catholics Christian? Absolutely. Are Pentecostals Christian? Absolutely. Does God love everybody? Absolutely. But that's kind of a history of what happened in our Protestant church. And October 31st, 1517, they named the official date because Martin Luther, a humble priest, nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. A question people often ask was, Martin Luther get married? Martin Luther, he wasn't going to. Didn't think he needed to, but all his friends said, you've got to make a statement, you know, priests should be married. So they talked him into looking for a gal, and he hooked up with a gal named Catherine von Bora. And Catherine von Bora gave birth to 6 kids. And if you ever see a picture of Catherine von Bora, she looks like one of the Minnesota Vikings linemen. I think maybe because she dressed, because it was so cold, she had to dress warmer or something. But she partnered Luther and kept him in line, which was a good thing. John, there you go. Another reason for you to find a nice little gal. Okay? That was one question that always comes up. Anything else I'm missing, John? We covered pretty much all of it. Offended a lot of people. Yeah. I say these things to get you thinking about who you are and what you believe. No one has a line on the truth. I trust the Holy Spirit will work in your life, and I trust He'll work in my life. And we're called to love and to serve all of followers of Jesus. If you look at Jesus' life, we're supposed to emulate it, and all He ever did was give of Himself, give of Himself, give of Himself, give of Himself. Even today He stopped because a poor beggar hollered out His name. He gave until they hung Him on the cross, and even then He forgave. Father, forgive them. All He did was give and give and give. We're called to follow Him, regardless of the name we put on our church. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Next hymn is 696. Let's sing the first, fourth, and fifth verse. The first verse, then the last two verses. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer. It's found on page 4. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ now and forever. Amen. Made alive with God in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Uniting God, join together the many and varied voices of your church into one great voice, so that all the world may hear the good news of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, uphold the expansive network of your creation as birds migrate and animals prepare for hibernation. Lord, in your mercy, bend our ears to hear the cries of those who long for justice and inclusion. Teach us to listen and respond. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send your Spirit to stir up healing and wholeness where there is illness, conflict between neighbors, war, or any kind of suffering. Give relief to all who are in need. We especially remember in our prayers Joyce and Carol and Ron and Minnie and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, breathe your reforming Spirit into the church today. Open us to receive the newness ever present in your ancient gifts, and call us to action by your gracious and freeing word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, there are many who are hurting this day. Be with Barb Forrester as she mourns. She and her family mourn the loss of her mother. Be with Ron Anderson as he mourns the loss of his son. Be with the Sandberg family and all the peace offers across the land who need your healing touch. We thank you for those who celebrated birthdays, joyous times. Bev, Dick, and those others, keep them in your loving graces. And Lord, if you could give us a greater understanding of how you move, your Spirit moves across this land, we would pray for that. Keep us close to you. Watch over our loved ones this day and always. Keep them close as well. You have done great things in the lives of the saints. Reveal to us the glorious works you do every day, that we recognize your kingdom when it comes. Lord, in your mercy, gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God, remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is A Mighty Fortress, written by Martin Luther, hymn number 504.